The latest marketplace poll shows that large swaths of people think the economy is rigged, but sharp differences of opinion about who benefits from the rigging. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. We have a new Marketplace Edison Research poll now, a survey of more than 1,000 adults conducted the first week of this month. Economic anxiety is up from 33% a year ago to 39% now, and more than 3 out of 5 say the economy is rigged in favor of others. Larry Rosen is president of Edison Research, the folks we're partnering with on these polls.
No matter who you're intending to vote for on November 8th, there's a few groups that sort of everyone seems to think the economy is rigged for. One is just the rich, and you do hear both candidates speaking to that topic. But then you get some really interesting stories where Clinton supporters just completely have a different perspective than Trump supporters. So, for instance, 62% of Clinton supporters say that the economy is rigged for white people. Meanwhile, 56% of Trump supporters say the economy is rigged to benefit minorities, compared to only 19% of Clinton supporters. And we see similar discrepancies on various campaign themes. 2/3 of Trump supporters say the economy is rigged to help people who are on government assistance, and less than 1/3 of Clinton supporters feel that way.
Think about the polarization implied by those findings. The idea that many Trump supporters think the economy is rigged in favor of African-American people, and African-American people are not feeling that way.
I think that many of us thought and hoped that race would not be such a defining issue as far as we think we are here in 2016. But our data, and pretty much all pollsters' data, shows that it's still a huge, huge factor in how one views America, how one views their politics, and in our case, for our survey, how they view sort of their personal economy and how they interact with the economy.
One of our missions here on this program is to report official assessments of the economy as well as non-official assessments of the economy. You asked people about what they make of all this data that comes out from the government about jobs, you know, unemployment, employment. What did you find?
1/4 of Americans in our survey told us they completely distrust the economic data reported by the federal government. And the difference between Trump supporters and Clinton supporters was really striking. Nearly half, 48% of people who say they intend to vote for Donald Trump told us they completely distrust the economic data reported by the government, as compared to only 5% of Hillary Clinton supporters. And no matter who's elected, this is going to be a problem for the president. If you don't know who to believe, if you don't know who to trust, I would think very naturally it's going to make you more anxious.
Larry Rosen, president of Edison Research, with the latest Marketplace Edison Research poll findings. Larry, thank you.
Of course. Thanks, David.
All of the poll results are at marketplace.org. Note that by 37% to 33%, more Clinton supporters report economic anxiety than Trump supporters. And if you want to get a better sense of your own economic anxiety, we have a calculator for you online, you know, in addition to checking your own blood pressure. There's news that the Treasury Department is changing some rules to try to thwart so-called inversions. That's where a company merges with a company in a lower tax country to use its street address to lower its U.S. tax bill. Inversions have become increasingly common in recent years. Marketplace's Annie Baxter joins me now to try to explain the final rules. Annie?
Well, so Treasury is going after situations like this. You've got an American company that merges with a foreign one, then the new American subsidiary borrows money from the foreign parent that creates an income stream in the low tax country, and the interest paid on those loans by the U.S. subsidiary is deductible, and that helps to reduce the corporation's U.S. tax bill. So Treasury is saying if these loans don't increase investments in the U.S., you can't use them to dodge taxes. So under the rules, the loans are going to be considered stock-based, which means they wouldn't be deductible. Now, at the same time, Treasury is now going to grant more exceptions to those intra-company loan rules than what it had proposed in April, and it's easing some of the documentation requirements. Critics of the rule say, among other things, we need broader tax code reform and not just these one-off changes.
All right, Annie, thank you. Even in presidential elections before the internet, before radio, there was the campaign lapel pin, the button. In New York this morning, there's an auction of a trove of these campaign buttons from over the years, the Dr. Alan York collection, 15,000 of these critters. And looking at the auction photos, one is reminded that while in elections past, some people went high, others went low, opponents of FDR likening him to Hitler, elephants and donkeys engaging in lewd behavior. Will Roland with Roland Auctions was looking at one from Franklin Roosevelt versus Wendell Willkie.
When FDR was running against Willkie in 1940, the GOP manufactured millions of buttons. The Democrats started to put out a button that said, "All you get from Willkie are buttons." I'm dying to get people outside of the button collecting community to come look at them. Not just because I want to sell them. It's not about that, because I think they're going to end up going to those button collectors anyway, because a lot of them are very expensive and people are going to be like, why would you pay that much? But so many of them are so incredible and they're like, they're so cool.
There's one button making such a rude pun about Dick Nixon that I can't put it on public radio, but there's a digital version at marketplace.org if you insist, because history lessons are always useful, and I'm sure you haven't had enough negative campaigning here in October 2016. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.